At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $2,499 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on another busy weekend in Scottish football. Celtic put 9 past Dundee United to heap more misery on Jack Ross. Rangers see off Ross County with ease, but Malky Mackay wasn't happy with the referee, and there were big wins for Kilmarnock, Aberdeen Hearts and St Mirren. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah.
It's a weekend when football called 999 for emergency, Gordon. 9 for Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool on Saturday to boom a warning to Rangers of what's coming in the Champions League. 9 for Ange Postecoglou's Celtic to heap more pressure on Dundee United and Jack Ross. And number 9, Lauren Shankland, just about the last Hearts man standing, gets a win. Bonus for Andy Halliday.
I was going to say, I thought it was going to be 9 injuries for Hearts. I genuinely thought that's where that was heading. You are one of the walking wounded. You don't seem too bad, to be fair. Busy weekend, was it?
Very busy weekend, but important. Obviously the manager chose to rotate the squad again, which is quite often a beneficiary to me these days. So it was good to go on the pitch. Obviously a really important win. You know, everyone sort of questioned how can Hearts handle these games after the European nights, but we've just showed we've got a good squad. But another quiet weekend in Scottish football. Plenty of goals, record breakers, and certainly not shy of some refereeing decisions here or there as well.
It is all there, and we've still got that Champions League draw to look forward to. Champions League group, I should say, to look forward to, in case you hadn't noticed. So it's 0141-951-1025. Come on, let's hear what's on your mind tonight. Roger Hannah, set the scene with your result of the weekend.
The result of the weekend. It's the only one it could be. Dundee United 0, Celtic 9. Celtic's biggest competitive away win in 134 years of history, and Kyogo said it could have been 10.
It's quite the thought, Andy. You're going to need to pick something else.
But yeah,
there were a few good results, to be fair.
It's pretty much an unwritten rule to pick the same before I get lambasted
exactly.
Because that I've not picked Celtic. But I'm going to go for Kilmarnock. I think it was really important for Dennett McKinsey's side. I've sort of stuck up for them over the last few weeks that I do think they'll turn that corner. And, you know, it was a first win against a Motherwell side that would be doing really well, and it's a well-deserved 3 points.
Okay,
as well.
Good standard as well. Goal of the weekend.
Goal of the weekend. There were plenty to be had. I think Kyogo second for Celtic at Tannadice. At that stage, at 1-0, it sounds ridiculous. 1-0 after about 40 or 41 minutes, and he swept that past Carl-Johan Eriksson. A wonderful finish. Put him two-thirds of the way to his hat-trick and finished off Dundee United.
Andy?
Very good goal, more for the technique and the strike. I went for a team goal, and Antonio Cholak second. Ryan Kent and Tom Lawrence, some great, you know, interchange of play, and then that little nutmeg through ball into Cholak, great finish.
You always go team goals, I've noticed this. Howler of the weekend, Roger, who's getting it in the neck?
Howler of the weekend, there were a few. Andy touched upon one of them a moment ago. Refereeing, it has to be Don Robertson. He maybe didn't get a good view, but he's got two linesmen and a fourth official there as well. I think we're all in agreement. James Sands, very lucky lad not to get a red card.
Howler of the week, Andy. Craig Gordon, are you going to stick your goal in it?
No chance.
Well, he's got too much goodwill in the bank, doesn't he?
Rogers actually left the door ajar for me to get involved in this Dundee United Celtic game, so I'm going to go for the Howler. It has to be Dundee United with Callum, the producer, standing at my right-hand side as well. I've already had my words with him. I mean, 23 goals conceded in 4 games is just horrific viewing, and I mean, of course, Celtic were terrific, but Dundee United equally poor.
The look on producer Callum's face, what a time he's having, honestly. As soon as the field, we'll maybe get to him in a second, right? Individual performance of the weekend.
Individual performance of the weekend. Well, I've already given Celtic the team performance. I've already given Kyogo the goal. I'm going to have to. You could go Kyogo, you could go Abada, you could almost go right the way through the Celtic team. But I'm going to go for the manager, because the team have won 9-0. The team have won every domestic game. They're top of the league, and he now has a big, big week ahead. Ross County up there in the League Cup, Rangers coming to Celtic Park on Saturday, and Real Madrid coming to Celtic Park next Tuesday night.
Top performer, Andy.
Roger mentioned a few players there, and I was surprised he never mentioned the one that I'm going to go for. I'm going to go Matt O'Reilly. I thought he was the best player on the pitch. I thought he was involved in literally everything Celtic done. And yeah, he was certainly involved in a few goals as well. So
the connoisseur's choice. Winner. Two hat tricks in there, and you've gone for somebody who is pulling the strings.
Team goals, right? Team players. That's it.
Did he make how many of the Celtic's 9-0 made Gordon DL's team of the week?
A few. We'll maybe get to him a bit later on. Anyway, 0141 9.
There's no maybe about it.
0141 951 1025 on the phones or at Clyde SSB on Twitter. It seems like an obvious place to start. Tannadice yesterday, Celtic fans, Dundee United fans. What on earth did you make of that? Come on, pick up the phone and let us know. Now, I wouldn't usually do this because I don't like to give him the fame of actually being on air too often. I think, if anything, he's already had a bit too much this season, but it would be crazy of us not to. Producer Callum, are you okay?
No, really, I'm not. It's been a really difficult few days.
He actually sounds quite emotional.
Yeah,
I feel
yeah,
like I can hear the voice. Look, you are, you know, responsible for these things. Do you want to swear? Or
I'd like to, but I do like my job.
I mean, how bad do you feel? Let the nation sort of wallow in it.
To give you some context, I was at a stag do in Liverpool, and we all know that Amsterdam broke me. So the last thing I needed was another weekend away. And I was on a bus home, sitting on the... It was like a wee minibus. There was an axle at the back, so every stone it hit, I felt every moment of it.
And every time that happened, another goal went in.
Yeah, pretty much. And I had the phone in Sky go. It got to 2-0, and I thought, I'll just turn it off. It'll be 3 or 4, that's fine. And I got text updates from everyone. And I'd actually like to thank everyone who tweeted as well to ask if I'm all right. And the answer is
no,
absolutely not.
Right, get yourself up the road. I think producers Michael and Ross can handle this. You need another night off.
Well done, Cam.
Bye.
It's no easy to stand in front of the camera after a 9-0 drubbing. So you've done that.
He does genuinely look broken the way. Not
yeah,
like
no,
not,
he does.
Not
he
like
does.
For dramatic effect. He looks shell shocked, and I'm all for it.
I think that's more to do with the weekend than it is the 9-0.
Yeah, well, possibly. 0141 951 1025 in the phones, at Clyde SSB and Twitter. Ross is a Celtic fan. How good was it, Ross? What did you make of it?
Yeah, hi guys, hope you're all well, and I hope Callum's alright as well. Hope he's not
nah, he's absolutely not, but don't worry about him.
No, honestly, I was really, really impressed yesterday. I did not expect 9-0, but I did expect Celtic to get goals, and I generally believe that after watching the game yesterday, it's no fluke. I think the last 5 games, Celtic have shown signs that this is what we're capable of. And I think when you look at the goals that we've scored, 21 scored, 1 conceded, I think this is signs of things that's going to come this year for Manchester. I really do think Ange has got his playing football. And he's right what he said last year, the end of last season. He says it will come back stronger and better, and we certainly have.
But that was always going to be the challenge, Roger, is to, you know, to go again, to try and take that step forward. Are there signs there that Celtic have done that, do you feel, or is it too early?
Yeah, we said in the show, Ross, we're describing this game on Saturday as the Mark Wilson derby, Dundee United against Celtic, and we were just saying, you know, Mark was away watching, what was he watching, a medieval show with horsemen jousting, and I said Dundee United could come out on horseback on Sunday lunchtime with jousting poles and they wouldn't lay a finger on Celtic, and that was the way it turned out. Now Dundee United were beyond poor. It was probably the worst performance I can remember from a top flight Scottish team, but you can only beat what's in front of you, and Celtic were merciless in the way they put Dundee United to the sword. It could have been 10, could have been double figures, Kyogo's correct, and I think they probably have cranked up a little bit from where they were at the end of last season. In their favour, so far this season, it's just been weekend to weekend to weekend, Gordon. So they've had plenty of time in the training ground, which Ange likes. He likes to prepare his teams properly, and my goodness, he's been preparing them properly. The big test now is, when the games come thick and fast, can they maintain those levels?
I mean, Andy, we've seen lots of occasions in the past, because look, there's a gulf there. Everyone knows it. There's a huge gulf there. So we've seen loads of times when Celtic and Rangers are bang at it and opposition are miles off it.
Yeah.
But it very rarely gets to 9. That's the point. It's the records that Roger's talking about. So what does it take for that to happen? And what did you make of the way that it took place yesterday?
I mean, the crazy thing is, though, Gordon, that I watched quite a lot of the game, and it got to about the sort of 30, 35th minute, and I feel as if Dundee United sort of ridden a period of storm, and I thought that there's actually a game here. I think Dundee United are in a game. And then one goes in after the 48th minute, and after that Celtic scored 8 goals in 50 minutes. I mean, that's next level, and it culminates with both. Celtic, when they play at that high tempo, high paced football that Ange Postecoglou's side are renowned for when they're at their best, they're going to be very, very difficult for anyone to stop. But, and it's not to take anything away from Celtic, it certainly looked as if it got to a point where Dundee United chucked the towel in. I mean, Celtic scored 7 goals within 10 yards. They've effectively walked it into Dundee United's 6-yard box. But that being said, some of Celtic's play was exceptional.
Ross, there's often a thing that happens where a team gets whatever it is, even if it's 3 or 4 or 5 up, then they make a couple of substitutions, and although you think it's heading for an 8 or a 9 or a 10, it just never does. It always seems to sort of die out a little bit, and the tempo goes, and the game just peters out. Why do you think that doesn't happen or didn't happen yesterday?
Again, I totally agree with you. I think when it gets to a stage, when it goes to 5, say 6, and then Ange changes it, seems to be the tempo drops. But I just feel like yesterday Celtic were basically just setting a standard. I was expected to come there, get all due respect to Dundee United, are bottom of the league, so it's hard to kind of put it up against when you're playing Aberdeen or Hibs or Hearts. But I just feel like Celtic are just basically trying to set a marker for what they want to achieve this year. And it was just to see as well, I've got another point about Saturday's game, that the guys think that Rangers will pose any challenge at all on Saturday, or is Celtic extremely firm favourites to just go and get the 3 points?
I'd be interested if either of you sit here on Monday night and say, no, Rangers will not pose any challenge whatsoever. That would be quite the start to the week, but that's what Ross's question is.
Yeah, listen, they'll pose far more of a challenge than Dundee United did. Last game at Celtic Park, the tail end of last season, they come back from a goal behind to get a draw in the game. Might have snatched it at the end, if you remember. They are used to playing fixtures like this. You know, you think some of the big European fixtures away from home, I'll give you last Wednesday night in Eindhoven. So they are course and distance in fixtures like this. I'm certainly not going to say they're going to Celtic Park to win the game when you see the way Celtic played yesterday, but it will be a fascinating contest.
Yeah, I think Rangers will certainly pose a challenge, but I don't think there's any doubt that Celtic are favourites going into the fixture. I think Celtic have been almost, well, they've certainly been perfect in terms of points so far in the league campaign, but almost in their performances they've been excellent. I mean, that's 5 games with a plus 20 goal difference. Yeah. It's some going.
Roger Hanna was getting the headline ready. Andy Halliday says Rangers have got no chance.
That would have been quite something.
Ross, I don't know if it's as simple as this because of the number of goals. And then, yes, you have to factor in Dundee United and how poor they were. But does that rank as, like, you know, being the best domestic performance you've seen ever in a while? Or do you not think about it in those terms?
No, I think I was trying to actually look back yesterday. I think it's only once Celtic against Aberdeen. I think it's Celtic Park was the last one I remember. The 1-9-0.
Yep.
I don't think they come around that often, but as I say, I don't look at it in that way. I look at it in the performance way. As I say, even if we win 6-0 and we played the way we played yesterday, I don't really care about if it's 6 or 9. But obviously, goals matter and come off to the goal difference. But from a Celtic fan's point of view, I think the performance was probably the best that I've seen in a long time. I think Celtic were at it, and as I say, long may it continue. But Saturday, I think, will be a harder challenge, but I do expect Celtic to go again and get the 3 points.
I think, apart from Dundee United and probably Rangers fans, Roger, there's that sort of twisted part to a lot of people that once it gets to 9, you kind of want to see 10 because you should never get the double figures. Do you add more significance to this given that it was away from home? I mean, in theory, that should be harder to do. Ross mentions the game against Aberdeen, the 9, that was at Celtic Park.
Yeah, it's funny. Some of the bigger ones from Celtic in recent years have been away from home. I remember them scoring 8 at Dunfermline. Neil Lennon was among the scorers, one of his first goals. I remember, cover your ears now, Gordon. I remember them scoring 7 one Sunday night at Fir Park.
I've forgotten all about that.
There might have been a Henrik Larsson hat trick in there, and a 6 at Aberdeen, and a 5 at Aberdeen. So some of the bigger ones actually have been away from home.
Did Ronnie Dyle's side do an 8-1 against Hamilton Accies or something?
They did, yep.
Anyway, thank you very much to Ross on the line, 01419511025. Let's bring in Tom and Renfrew. What's your point tonight, Tom?
Good evening to the panel.
Hello.
Yesterday's game, Celtic and the Dundee United. I've got great respect for Celtic. I'm a Rangers supporter. The way they're playing, I'm magnificent at the moment. But what are these young lads going to think about Dundee United? The way they were beaten. To myself, 4-5-0, yeah, great. But why carry on to 9? You know.
So Celtic should have like deliberately stopped scoring?
Well, I wouldn't say stop scoring, but let Dundee United play.
Well, Why?
Well, it's a game of football, is it not?
Well, that's, exactly. Maybe that's. I'm not sure that answer means what you think it means. Is that not the idea? You would just keep playing as you always would, regardless of what the score is.
Yes, but at the same time, why score the 9 goals and humiliate these young lads? You know.
That's a good question, Roger.
Well,
it's an interesting question.
You know, some managers have little phrases that their sort of careers are built around. I remember Steven Gerrard in his first day at Rangers saying, "Let's go," and that stayed with him all around his time. And Ange's phrase is,
Aston Villa fans are not really feeling that one at the moment.
Well,
but anyway,
indeed, but Ange Postecoglou's phrase is, "We never stop." And yesterday was the footballing personification, if you like, of that phrase. They didn't stop. And when it got to 5 or 6 or 7, he sent on 4 substitutes and they didn't stop. And when Callum McGregor flashed that shot in deep into added time, I actually thought it was going to be 10. And they didn't stop. The reason they didn't stop is, who knows,
were they wrong to not stop? I think that's what Tom's trying to...
No, listen, come next May, as the first caller Ross said, this might come down to goal difference, this title. You know, it sounds ludicrous at the end of August. Yeah. But we might be sitting here in May saying, well, if Celtic had only scored 6, you know, they wouldn't have won the league. So that's why they keep pushing.
I mean, Tom, is that not the obvious problem with this? In a hypothetical world, your Rangers team pip Celtic to the title by a goal on goal difference, and Ange Postecoglou is supposed to say, oh well, at least we didn't humiliate those poor Dundee United players.
Gordon, this isn't sour grapes. It's not sour grapes. I'm a Rangers supporter, yeah. I'm looking forward to the game on Saturday. I think it'll be a good game between the two of them. We'll see what happens. But those young lads in Dundee United and the manager, he's trying to build up that team again. And for that to happen to them yesterday, and the European game as well, they don't need that.
So Alkmaar should maybe have taken the foot off the gas as well, Andy?
Well, there's always a question when these sort of big defeats happen, that is it mentally scarred a team? But I looked at Dundee United's team, this is post Alkmaar, that they certainly had enough experience within their squad that I thought that they could overcome it and get back to playing football and getting results again. But I mean, they've really struggled. I touched on it earlier, 23 goals they've conceded in 4 games. But actually, that can't affect Celtic. I think, you know, like Roger quite rightly pointed out, Celtic are at their best when they do play at that high tempo and they obviously don't stop and they keep going. They've done that at the weekend, but I'm almost look at sort of Jack Ross and say, I don't know about you, Roger, but if my team's 6-0 down, it gets to the 6 minutes, if I'm making 3 substitutes, it's certainly to avoid any more humiliation. After 60 minutes, Jack Ross chose to bring on Nicky Clark, Jamie McGrath and Craig Sybil. That's 3 attacking substitutes. So it was almost as if, you know, Jack Ross wanted to then push on and attack and try and get another goal and I'll get back into the game. But Celtic just continued to dominate
and
do what they've done.
You use a phrase, I'm glad you used it and I didn't, because I would get criticised. You're a player, you can say it. Dundee United stopped near the end. If you're in that dressing room at the end, what annoys you most? Is it the fact that at the 9th goal, Carl Starfield had a free run, a free header, and nobody moved? Is it the fact that despite, and I'm not advocating a let's kick Richarlison up in the air here, but Dundee United had one booking and they hardly get near a Celtic player? What would irritate you most?
I think there's obviously, Celtic were fantastic, but I think pride and sort of self-awareness comes into play where it's just, when it gets to 4 or 5, whatever it gets to, where, right, we don't concede any more goals, get in, get compact, get nice and tight, mark your runners, which is probably one of the biggest ones for that game at the weekend, and don't concede any more goals. But like I said, Celtic then just continue to be able to walk it into Dundee United's box, cut it across goal, have a tap in, there was no left back. So for me, I'm looking at the more experienced players, like obviously the captain, who was Edwards, and Stephen Fletcher, and sort of get round about the young boys, even sort of get them in, because it is a young squad, Dundee squad, and just get them a bit more solid and compact for the last 20 minutes. But it just seemed as if they were so expansive for the rest of the game.
And just before we let Tom go, should Celtic have taken their foot off the gas?
No, quite. Roger quite rightly pointed out this could come down to goal difference, you never know.
Sorry, Tom, to disappoint. You will agree to disagree. 01419511025. Good time to call, though. You could be up next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. It's 01419511025 to join in. And of course, you can tweet at Clyde SSB. The last caller before the break wasn't happy with Celtic, thinks they should have taken the foot off the gas out of respect for those poor Dundee United players. Ange Postecoglou, if anything, sort of sensed a vulnerability because of Dundee United's run and saw his team go for it.
Yeah, credit to the players. I thought, I really focused and disciplined today, and we knew obviously Dundee United are going through a tough time, and potentially vulnerable if we started the game really strongly and played our football, and I thought we did that. You know, there was a patch in the first half. We got a bit sloppy with our passing, but we rectified that pretty quickly, and then the key after that was just to stay really focused and disciplined, keep playing our football, don't let the scoreline or the circumstances take us away from that. And I thought the boys did well to do that. It's a team we want to be. It's not just about the football we want to play, it's about the intent, and we don't want to be sort of led by the scoreboard, or whatever the circumstance of the game are. We just, irrespective if it's the first or last minute, or we're winning or we're down, we want to play at a certain tempo, intensity, work hard, and make sure that everyone's contributing. And as I said today, it would have been very easy to get away from that, but for us, it's not just about winning a game of football, it's also about setting our own standards within that.
Let's speak to Tracy, who's a Celtic fan in Neilston. What did you make of it yesterday, Tracy?
After what Ross, your first caller, had said, you'd ask the question, what were you most impressed with? Mm-hmm. The amount of goals they scored or how they played? And I would actually say that means nothing come next week. It's a very different opponent that we've got next Saturday. What I would say was the fitness levels. That's what I was impressed with. The speed that Jota has. Everyone talks about Maeda, but I think Andy Halliday said that O'Reilly was his man of the match, or the player of the weekend. For me, it was Jota. He seemed to be everywhere. Some of his wee passes and dinks. It's that sort of speed that I think will win the game next Saturday. Not nine goals and not the way they played against a very, very poor Dundee United side. I think it's more about what they've got in the tank already. We're talking about the beginning of the season. But like you said yourself, Ange loves nothing better than no games during the week. And I know that's going to change in the next few weeks and months. But he's been able to do that. He's at that training ground every day with them, and it shows. And it's just to see what you guys think about that. You've all probably saw more of Rangers than I will have this season so far. Are Rangers' level of fitness anywhere near Celtic's at the moment?
Well, I'll just start off with the last point, Tracy. Obviously, Rangers took a lot of credit for their fitness levels last year in terms of the amount of games they played, obviously going to extra time on a few occasions. But obviously, it's a different season, who knows. But Celtic, you quite rightly pointed out their fitness levels to keep going to the end. And Jota as well, it's another, obviously, really impressive performance for him. And, Ange Postecoglou said something really interesting after the game that, he thought their general play was really good, but our defensive work, especially in the front half, was really good. So Celtic scored 9 goals without reply, and he's already complimenting how they press from the front and sort of having that down to a big reason why they managed to score the amount of goals they did, because it was just constant pressure, sustained attacks, and it made it very, very difficult for Dundee United to deal with it. And I've always said that when Celtic are at their best, they do play at a tempo that is very hard to combat as a domestic side.
It's interesting though, Roger, because there was this assumption amongst certain people last season that Celtic, that was that intensity that was going to blow Rangers away, particularly because Rangers had all these long shifts in Europe, and then that didn't turn out to be the case. So yeah, we're learning lessons from that going into this one. Tracy's still hopeful that will be the case.
We really don't know, because Rangers have had 4 midweek games that Celtic haven't had. Celtic have just gone weekend to weekend to weekend, as we say. They look very slick. But, towards the end of last season, when Rangers had a much heavier schedule than Celtic,
They went to Celtic Park and finished the game scoring an equaliser, might well have scored a winner at the end, and they did finish stronger. So sometimes what we believe will happen, our eyes tell us something different when we actually see it. Rangers will compete far better than Dundee United did at the weekend, but they'll need to compete well because Celtic were quite awesome yesterday. And it's fascinating to listen to Ange Postecoglou afterwards because he didn't really revel in the fact that Celtic had scored an historic 9 goals. It was the manner in which the goals were scored. And I mentioned Callum McGregor's shot that fizzed past near the end, and there was one by Greg Taylor, I think, that was blocked a moment or two before. And I sort of got the impression Ange doesn't like that sort of thing, you know, that kind of random shooting from distance. He wants the ball to be recycled, turned over, keep the ball, keep passing the ball, keep moving, and get yourself into a position where you can effectively walk the ball in, as he did on several occasions yesterday.
Tracy, I'm not going to go as far as to talk about, you know, is this the best Celtic team? Because I think that's so tough, because the standard of the league can change. We've not yet seen what they can do in Europe or the Cups. I'm just talking about the sort of attacking domestic football. Is this, has it been better than this before for you, or is this a contender? How do you feel about it?
I think, after seeing what Celtic Rangers have been like year on year, and I think the gap's getting bigger. And I know Aberdeen and Hearts look as if they're having a good start to the season. However, I think it may be time that you start talking about Celtic Rangers being in another league again. And I know that opens a whole other can of worms. But do you really want to see teams like Dundee United, a once very strong team, being beaten 9 goals at home? Roger, you mentioned earlier on about, you know, Anne saying you don't take your foot off the pedal because it could come down to goal difference come next May. I digress slightly. My 3 girls all play netball, and it gets to a point, if the score is over 20 goals, you've got to play. It's called fair play. So you mix up your team. So who's normally a defender becomes an attacker. That's for 15-year-olds. We're talking about professional footballers here. They can't take their foot off the pedal. They need to see this to the end of the season, and it could come down to goal difference. But very quickly, can I just mention Kenny Miller's assessment last night on Sports Scene at the highlights?
Oh, Jesus, bad enough getting stick for what he says on here. Never mind what he says elsewhere, Tracy, but go on.
Kyogo, how he plays the offside rule. And I think the words used were, I don't know if it's luck. Now, I think that's a wee bit disrespectful to a professional footballer. I think the guy's managing to hone his craft and use the offside rule. There was a few rival football fans that I was reading comments on Twitter and Facebook last night, and a few of them were saying, oh, you know, I know it's a rule, but I don't agree with that rule, the way I know.
Yeah, Roger, it's been quite an interesting one, this, because like teams have done that for a while, as far as I can gather, but obviously the spotlight went on it yesterday.
Yeah, listen, I learned my lesson, Tracy, on this about 25 years ago. I wrote in a previous newspaper that I worked with, it was a Celtic game, and Henrik Larsson, you remember all the goals that Henrik scored for Celtic, and he was the master of hanging in the shoulder of the last defender, busting through and scoring the goal. And I used a phrase, and he scored a goal, and I think I used the phrase, burst forward from the brink of offside. And a guy wrote into me, into the newspaper, and said, the brink of offside is onside. And that was all the letter said, Tracy. And I thought, you know something, you're absolutely bang on the money.
It wasn't Hugh Keevans, was it?
No, it wasn't. So if you can do it with the rate of success that Henrik Larsson did, and with the rate of success that Kyogo's doing it, that's a skill in itself, because he was onside. You know, it doesn't matter if Kenny Miller or anyone else thinks he's flirting about with being offside. He was onside. So it's a great skill.
It's quite something, Andy. Does it strike you as something that they, you know, will be working on and paying particular focus?
I've heard his English is getting a lot better. I would love for somebody to ask him that, because it is really intelligent, if that's what he's intending. Because I know if that's my striker and the other team's attacking, he's not getting back goal side of the defenders, I'm shouting at him, yeah, you're lazy so-and-so, get back into play. But next thing you know, two passes, he's at the edge of the six-yard box for a tap-in. So, I mean, listen, it's very, very intelligent striker play if it's intended.
I mean, could it be then that the instruction is that, you know, it never goes to him, it's never the central one, the onus is then on, Abada and Jota to be in onside positions?
Yeah, definitely, and it's... I just feel as if Celtic have got so many strings to their bow right now. It's like they're very solid defensively, not conceding a lot of goals. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago how their set piece record defensively and defensively has improved massively. We all know how good they are going forward, whether that's counter-attacking goals or field of play. So they've been excellent.
Thank you, Tracy. One thing we've not even got round to yet is what this means for Dundee United and Jack Ross. So any Dundee United fans out there, please do get in touch. Celtic went back top. Rangers had occupied that for a day after beating Ross County at Ibrox. So let's get a take from the Rangers' perspective from Derek, who's on the line. Take it away, Derek.
Good evening, lads. How you doing?
All good, all good. Are you well?
I'm well for good. Monday, thanks, aye.
Exactly. It's a tough day to get through, Derek, but a busy weekend on the football front. What did you make of it?
I thought we were excellent on Saturday, really good on Saturday. Played with good pace right through the game. Made a couple of subs at the right time and just icing the game out. And quite enjoyable to watch, actually. It was good.
Andy, was it less stuffy and fussy than these games can be? You know, I feel like I've just been here on a lot of Saturdays where Rangers fans phone in at 5 o'clock and say, oh, do you know what, we won and it was fine, but why did we need two defensive midfielders and we should go more to try and break teams down and so on. I take it this wasn't one of those occasions.
I think a big question mark over Rangers domestically over the last sort of wee while has been they quite often come very slow out the gates, and then when you're playing against teams that are very compact, hard to break down, you know, the longer the game goes on, the frustration starts, and it all becomes that little bit stuffy, as you call it. I thought that's the best I've seen Rangers play domestically for a long time, because they came flying out the gates, and I coincide that with Ryan Kent being back on top form and Scott Wright. I thought the two of them were excellent, and made it very, very difficult for Ross County to deal with. That being said, obviously 0-0, Don Robertson's decision could have changed the game, but in terms of their general play, Rangers were really good at the weekend.
Listen, in an ordinary weekend, a 4-0 home win for Rangers, and people would be talking in glowing terms about how well they're playing. It's nothing to do with Rangers that Celtic then go to Tannadice and score 9. And I don't necessarily, bearing in mind, they've both games to play in midweek. I'm not so sure that the 9 will have any more bearing on Saturday's Old Firm game than if Celtic had scored 3 or 4 or 5. You know, Liverpool scored 9 at the weekend, Man City scored 4 at the weekend. If Liverpool were playing Man City at this weekend coming, you know, not everybody would be writing off Man City's chances. So I think it would be foolish to write off Rangers' chances. A brand new game, and as Andy said, you know, Rangers didn't have a bad week. They went to Eindhoven and won to get into the Champions League groups, and then they took 4 off Ross County on Saturday.
Derek, it's a new week. Who knows what this week will hold for Alfredo Morelos, but in the meantime, Antonio Colak's doing just fine in front of goal, is he not?
Nah, he's doing the business. He's playing really well. Nah, he's a predator in the box at the right place at the right time every game he's played.
Andy, is he making a real impression on you now?
Yeah, definitely. I think not just the goals. I think his overall impact and play. I think over at Eindhoven, I thought he was excellent, running the channels, harrying PSV's back four, and just becoming a real nuisance. And for me, you know, I've always said that I think Alfredo Morelos, Rangers have almost been too reliant on Alfredo Morelos over the last sort of 3 or 4 seasons. But I mean, if Alfredo Morelos gets back to full fitness, I don't see him getting the jersey. If Antonio Colak continues the form that he's in just now. And again, it was two fantastic finishes at the weekend. The first one especially, it's certainly not an easy finish.
One of the deciding factors at the weekend, Gordon, will be if Celtic pick the same team they picked yesterday, and you would expect them to do so, you know what you're going to get from that Celtic team in this game, because they've all played in it before. What you don't know is what Rangers will get, how Colak, how Malik Tillman, how Tom Lawrence will all settle into that fixture for the first time at Celtic Park, because the first time you take in an Old Firm game, whether you're playing, whether you're in the press box, whether you're behind the goal, it does take your breath away to a certain extent.
So you can freeze, and or you can be Rio Hitati, who, you know, showed no signs of it last season.
100%. So it's maybe the game that can take Colak to an even higher level of performance.
Andy, not something that I think we need to labour tonight, because it's sort of some of it's been done, but I'm conscious of the fact you weren't on last week. This is supposed to be the week that the Rangers manager will sit down with Alfredo Morelos again. It's a player you know. It was a former colleague of yours. What have you made of that, and how do you think it plays out this week?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of his red card at Easter Road, it was obviously extremely disappointing. His disciplinary record was obviously extremely poor for a couple of seasons, but it seems as if he's seen the back of that. He's seen a lot more of a mature Alfredo Morelos, who really took on that mantle of being more experienced, more mature, and his performances reflected that. But the sign of petulance that showed at Easter Road certainly let the team down, let the manager down. And then what's coincided with that over the last week is obviously Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, you know, questioning his professionalism in terms of his fitness and his weight and whatnot. But I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, Rangers will certainly want to, you know, keep him at the football club for the immediate future. And you certainly don't want to see someone like him leaving the club in a free next summer.
Right, thank you, Derek. It's a good time to call. We will get some travel news and we could be speaking to you next. We're going to hear from some of the managers. We've already heard from Ange Postecoglou. We'll do Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. Malky Mackay wasn't happy with the referee. Ibrox, we'll get his thoughts as well.
1419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah's here. Andy Halliday is alongside him as well after playing for Hearts in a victory against St Johnstone yesterday. I'm sure we'll get his thoughts on that as the show progresses. You can phone and you can tweet, which is exactly what Danny McKinley's done. He says, can you ask Andy what Kyogo said to him when he was down injured that had him laughing?
Oh,
this last week.
I don't understand Japanese, so I couldn't tell you. But he offered a hand to sort of help me up, which was nice of him. I don't usually get that sort of treatment at Celtic Park, that's for sure.
So that's what made you laugh. I thought this
isn't right. Yeah, I don't think he knows me.
I thought the manager was very harsh on you after the game, Andy.
What manager?
Your manager. Oh, he was asked whether you were fit or not, and he says, he just likes a wee bit of applause going off the park.
Did he? I don't think I get an applause there, so I don't know where he got that one from.
He did then single you out for a bit of praise. I thought that was, I was glad you weren't on last week, that way we didn't have to talk about that. But that shows that you are, you see, you're more polite and kind than people think, so you've no idea what Kyogo said, but you thought you would just give him a wee smile and a laugh anyway.
Oh, he seems like a nice guy, eh?
Very good, right. 01419511025 on the line. Let's hear from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst in terms of what he made of the game. He thinks they reached a really high level. He thinks they're balancing domestic and European football well.
And of course, we had a great result on Wednesday. We were on a high and of course, very positive because we're going to play Champions League. But, you know, we had to switch now back to domestic league. And it's all about the start. You know, it's keeping the same standards you want and the same way of playing every game. And the games are coming fast. You know, when you start games like this, you will never drop your levels of intensity in passing and movement. And I think we reached a really high level today. And so I'm really pleased with the performance, of course, pleased with the clean sheet. And I think the goals we scored were from a really high level with the movements and the crosses we put in. So I'm very pleased, yeah.
Andy's a Rangers fan on the line. What's your take on the weekend's action, Andy?
I've got a couple of points. One to Andy as well, Andy Halliday. Celtic, I wouldn't get too overly excited at the result Celtic got yesterday. My local club team would have, no question, beat Dundee United. Dundee United,
No question.
No question whatsoever. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely shocking.
What pub is that, just for future reference?
Station Bar in Alexandria. Right, okay.
If you get any forwards, Andy, we'll take you to Arts now.
Aye. So they also get beat off a bang average European team a couple of weeks ago. So Dundee United,
who
to
did?
Me, are going down.
Oh, Dundee United.
Dundee United, aye. The main point I want to make with Andy is what I'm saying is Celtic haven't really played anybody of note in the league yet, right? Mm-hmm. Apart from Hearts, right?
That's why I was laughing.
But Hearts went in there with a defeatist attitude. Now, I know what Andy's going to say. They're utilising the squad and things like that because of the big European game. But they dropped players at the beginning of the season. I mean, even at this early stage, any points in the league is important. And they dropped a lot of the top players to go to Celtic Park. And there was only going to be one outcome there. So I think Hearts went in there with the wrong attitude.
Andy?
I mean, obviously, I disagree. I could... sort of come back and say, did we go in with the wrong attitude against St Johnstone because we rotated the squad again and obviously got the victory?
I love the tone here though. It's like, Andy, don't you think your team were defeatist by playing diddies like you? That's essentially
it's
what
not very nice, that,
that's
Andy.
Essentially what you're saying, is it not, Andy and Alexandra?
Well, no, I mean, Andy's a good player. I don't want to down a fellow Rangers man, right? But he plays for Hearts now, right? I mean, you're no Craig Gordon, no Shanklin. I can't remember, there was a couple other ones as well, but they came on near the middle of the second half and you could see an improvement in the team, which basically tells you that Hearts are no strong enough they've not got enough depth there. But
to be fair though, Andy, like Craig Gordon was a tightness in his back. Stephen Kingsley was an injury, and then he obviously missed the game at the weekend again from the same injury. Craig Halkett was an injury. A lot of them were enforced changes. I think the only two that were sort of rotational purposes was Shanklin and Mackay. And you're right, they did come on and made an impact in the game. But us at Hearts, we have 26 games from the start of the season to the World Cup. I mean, it's a lot of games in such a short period of time. And obviously the fixtures meant that it was Celtic that landed on the game 3 days prior to one of the biggest games that the football club's had in over a decade. So it didn't really matter who the opponent was going into that game. There was always going to be sort of rotation there.
So Andy, the gist of your point is you don't think Celtic have faced a big challenge yet, and they will get one this weekend, so they shouldn't get carried away. Yeah,
they shouldn't get carried away. And that goes on to my next point, what Andy just said about one of the biggest games of the season. We're going into an Old Firm game and then a Champions League game, Rangers I'm talking about here, at the weekend. Rangers, I think, are better equipped. I know some people will say these big high tennis, these games that make is getting online to begin with before even the season kicks off, the Champions League qualifiers I'm talking about. But we get good results and we come through them and we're in the Champions League now. And a lot of people wrote us off. Don't get me wrong, a lot of people wrote us off. I was a bit nervous about the second one, be it PSV, but they played the European-style game, and I think Rangers are going to go into this game a better equipped than Celtic. Right? Now, Celtic, to me, I think, will be caught cold. I'm not sure. I mean, Old Firm's are come and go. They go both ways, but I really think, with taking my blue-tinted specs off, I think Rangers, it's not going to be a big scoreline. It's not going to be a mauling or anything like that, but I think Rangers will come away with a victory on Saturday. Just try to see what you think.
I mean, Roger, yeah, look, it's early, it's Monday, we can do match predictions if you so wish, but to revisit Andy's general feeling is that Celtic haven't faced a test yet, but you know, is that, you'd see the point, you know, if they had gone and won maybe even 4-0 at Dundee United. I mean, it was 9 yesterday. It is still a pretty exceptional scoreline based on the simple fact we don't see it very often, regardless of who's in form and who's out of form and who rests who.
Listen, they were hugely impressive yesterday, of course they were, but I think everyone's agreed Saturday will be very much a different game. I think everyone's agreed the gap between the big two and the rest is widening, and what that means, Gordon, is that more than ever before there's a huge onus to get points when the two of them meet. They're only going to meet 4 times in the league, so these 4 games could well decide which side wins the championship. That's how important. I know it's very early in the season, I know it's only going to be the first weekend in September. This is going to be one of the most important games of football played in Scotland this season.
Who are Station Bar playing this weekend?
You
checked the fixtures? Andy's away, otherwise I would ask him.
Hopefully Dundee United, yeah, some watch.
Get a good test this time.
That would finish off Jack Ross.
Let's hear from Malky Mackay after that game at Ibrox. Not happy at all that the referee did not send off James Sands. He was on a booking. The Ross County manager felt that either he should have been given a second yellow or perhaps a straight red card by referee Don Robertson.
Sands pulls down Jordy with 2 arms on his waist, who's already been booked. And it's inexplicable how it's not a sending off, a straight red, never mind a booking, which would take him off as well. Rangers take him off at half time, so it's quite clear what they think about it. I don't think anybody that's going to see that on TV tonight will think anything other than that's a straight red. And the dynamics of games changes. I'm not saying what it would end up, I'm not saying what it might be, but I look at Aberdeen today. Aberdeen and Livingston played today 0-0 after 40 minutes. A man goes off, it's 5-0 at Aberdeen. So the dynamics of games changes, and it certainly changed on that, and I thought there wasn't any bodies in between it. It was very straightforward. There was 2 men in that half and nobody else, and he rolls them and he's right through and goes. There's no way that Jordy would, there's no need for him to go down, he's rolled him, he's away. So we're disappointed with that.
Thoughts?
As we said at the weekend, it was a red card. Whether or not Jordy Hawula would have gone through and scored a goal, we don't know. Whether or not it would have made a great difference to the outcome of the game, I doubt it. I think Rangers were so superior. May not have won 4-0, might have won 1-0, might have won 2-1. I would have fancied Rangers to win the game. But the basic truth is, Don Robertson has missed one. It should have been a red card for James Sands.
I mean, you think it's a mistake. There are degrees of mistake. You understand it. Is this a, well, in fact, you gave it your howler of the weekend. You know, How do you sort of analyse what Don Robertson was thinking, or how big a mistake you think it is?
Listen, we're blaming gave Don Robertson a howler a week. Don Robertson's actually only part of an officiating team. There are two linesmen and a fourth official there, and none of them have spotted this. Now, you know, looking back at the game, Malky Mackay in the touchline at the time seemed to get a perfectly good view of it. People round about seemed to get a perfectly good view of it. We'll never find out whether other members of the officiating team were advising Don Robertson to take another course of action or not. But what we do know is he sort of threw his hands in the air. That indicated to me he thought it was a 50-50. I didn't think it was a 50-50.
Yeah, the only explanation is that Don Robertson must have felt as if they were both at it. Maybe Jordan Howell has grabbed James Sands' arm and they both fell to the ground, but I don't think there's any doubt that it's a red card. It's a really poor decision. Don Robertson's missed one, and Malky Mackay's post-match comments are quite right. It's obviously affected the outcome of the game.
If there's one of those at either end at Celtic Park,
I'm phoning in sick on Monday.
Yes,
and Tuesday.
We're going to have to park the show for a couple of months.
Out for the next month, right? Anyway, it's that time of the evening.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Told you, you're in the presence of Beat the Pundit royalty on a Monday night. However, they are beatable, as Andy Halliday did show a couple of weeks ago. Let's see how he responds tonight. Roger Hanna's in great form. If you fancy your chances, you need to call us before 7 o'clock. So don't hang about. 0141 951 1025. And your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here at 0141 951 1025. If you're just joining us, apology accepted. I'm sure you've got a good excuse for missing the first hour. We've been discussing, obviously, that 9-0 victory for Celtic. What was good about it from a Celtic perspective? Quite keen to look at what was bad about it from a Dundee United perspective. How does this reflect on those players, on Jack Ross? Now would be a good time to share your thoughts, because we're going to hear from him as soon as we finish playing this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Bit of tension in the studio, because Andy Halliday's not used to losing, but I think the last time he was on,
yeah, defeat. Another tiebreaker defeat. I'm not very good at them.
A rare defeat. Oh, not as good as the ultimate tiebreaker last week, though. Tell me you heard Mark Wilson's effort. I'm going to talk about this
like
every
goals
night.
Or something.
340 goals in the Premiership this season. Heads, it will be Roger Hanna. Tails, it will be Andy Halliday. But it will certainly be Ross in Dundee. How's it going, Ross?
I'm right, how are you?
Oh, Ross, a Celtic fan in Dundee. You must be loving getting to work this morning.
I've got a work night shift, so I'm buzzing to go in tonight.
Oh, you must be loving getting into work tonight. Have there any Dundee United fans around?
There's a couple, so I'm very excited for
please,
that.
Please tell me, Ross, you start at 9.
No, I wish. I really wish.
Half 8 doesn't have the same ring to it, does it? Right, anyway, let's toss the coin, find out who Ross will be on before the night shift. Good way to get into the night shift.
Oh, absolutely.
Beat the Pundit victory. It's Tails. It's Andy Halliday against Ross, Celtic fan from Dundee. So let's give Andy some Clyde 2 so he can't hear us, Ross. We'll get this clock up and ready. 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can, and you're more than welcome to pass and move on if you don't know it, okay?
Okay.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Name the only major trophy Kenny Dalglish won as interim Celtic manager.
Scottish Cup.
Which Portuguese team did Rangers beat en route to the 2022 Europa League final?
Braga.
Name either team Jim Duffy's both played for and managed.
Falkirk.
Which Italian club does Josh Doig play for?
Bologna.
Which Scottish Premiership team have yet to win a league game? How many current Scottish top flight clubs has Craig Brown managed? Oh, nightmare. I think we lost, Ross. I must admit, I'm going to be honest. Ross, can you hear me? Oh, this is not good. This has never happened on Beat the Pundit before. How do we fix this? Ross, can you hear me? Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Now, let me check my Clyde One Super Scoreboard presenter's handbook. I don't know what to do in this situation. He's gone. Can you hear us, Roger Hanna? Andy Halliday?
Yes.
I should have something like smart and profound to say in a real professional way of handling this. You're sort of lost, Ross, like halfway through.
Oh, you're joking.
I don't really know what, like, you know, it might just be a way to Google the answers or something. this is great. We might need to just get someone else on and just go from the start. I think we should get someone else on and just go from the start.
Oh, that's not fair, Roger. They'll definitely be listening.
Yeah, it's a good point, isn't it?
I think for the first time ever, we're doing me versus Roger.
I think we're going to have to, aren't we?
This could be exciting.
I don't know. Let's see if we can get Anthony and Cardonald, because he's been trying to phone and stuff, so he might not have been listening.
This is risky. Against us, Roger.
This is the beauty of live radio. None of your recorded stuff that you can go and fix at a later date, Andy Halliday. You ought to think on your feet in this position.
I think the listeners would love to hear me.
I know. I think we should do that at some point. Anthony, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Be honest, did you just hear those questions?
I heard the first one.
Just the first question?
Aye, and then the second one I kind of missed it because my room was kicking down.
What about the third one, Anthony?
I actually believe that, right? Because I'll tell you why, right? Because bear in mind, we will be a little bit ahead of people at home anyway, right?
Let's go.
And if Anthony was listening in some sort of smart device, we're probably even further ahead. I think we can get away with it.
Aye, let's do it.
No? Just a Michael, come on, help me here. We just start.
You can go from there.
Oh, look at this. He's panicking. He is panicking. Right, okay. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Let's start from... I'll go from at least... there and we'll move on. Right, okay. I'm going to give Andy Halliday some Clyde 2.
Right, okay, let's go.
Right, you ready, Anthony?
I'm ready, yeah.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. How many current Scottish top flight clubs has Craig Brown managed?
Two.
Alex Neil is the manager of which English Championship club now?
Preston.
Tam Courts now manages a team in which European country?
Belgium.
Which Scottish Championship side play at the Fountain of Youth Stadium?
Partick Thistle.
Which team will Rangers face first in the Champions League group stages?
Ajax away.
And name the only major trophy Kenny Dalglish won as interim Celtic manager.
Scottish Cup.
Oh, let's bring back Andy Halliday. Can you hear us?
I see a lot of laughing, but I can hear you now. What's the laughter of it?
Well, because this is obviously a shambles, right? But I think we're going to get away with it. I think, right? You ready? Same set of questions.
Right, let's go.
Oh my goodness, get me up the road. Right. Your time starts now. How many Premiership clubs in Scotland has Craig Brown managed?
Three.
Alex Neil is now the manager of which English Championship
Stoke.
Side? Tam Courts now manages a team in which European country?
Hungary.
Which Scottish Championship side play at the Fountain of Youth Stadium?
Pass.
Which team will Rangers face first in the Champions League group stages?
Napoli.
Name the only major trophy Kenny Dalglish won as interim Celtic manager?
Scottish Cup.
Which Portuguese team did Rangers beat en route to the 2022 Europa League final?
Too late, no?
No. Which Portuguese team did Rangers beat en route to the 2022 Europa League final?
Oh,
yeah, as long
are
as
you
start,
answer after
yeah,
this?
If you started the question. I don't even know how this is going to go, Anthony.
So what? Why were you laughing? What happened?
What do you think, Anthony? What's the verdict?
I think I was poor there.
I think you were both poor. Right. How many current Scottish top flight clubs has Craig Brown managed? What did you say, Anthony?
Two.
I would say two.
It is two. So Anthony goes 1-0 in front. Alex Neil is now the manager of Stoke City. Andy Halliday equalises. Tam Courts now manages a team in
Hungary.
I said Hungary.
I just guessed that one.
I know you did.
All right. Calm
down.
The fact you went to Roger there, I thought you were telling me I was wrong.
Right, 2-1 in front. Which Scottish Championship side play at the Fountain of Youth Stadium? It is Hamilton Accies. None of you got it.
I'm really poor at stadiums.
You're bad at this one. Which team will Rangers face first? Ajax.
That fucks Napoli.
Anthony got it. Equalises. When did we then?
Kenny Dalglish.
We went on to which major trophy did Kenny Dalglish win as interim manager? You both said Scottish Cup. The reason I laughed because that's the question Anthony heard, but he still got it wrong. He came on and said Scottish. I went back to that one.
The League Cup.
It is the League Cup. And Anthony, did you know which Portuguese team Rangers faced?
Braga.
You said Braga as well. So we're off to a tiebreaker.
Oh yeah.
Hard for me to keep up with all that nonsense.
Oh, he said Braga.
He did
sorry.
Say Braga.
Mm-hmm. I heard League Cup and all, and I was listening to the questions.
So he came on air and chose the other one. Oh, this has been a shambles. See if you don't win this. I don't know if this can be held against
okay,
you.
Sorry,
we'll give the sign ball away anyway. Right, okay. I'm going to read the question. I'll get Andy to write his answer down and then give Anthony.
I've got a poor record with tiebreakers, Roger.
His attempt. The question is, how many Americans and Canadians are currently signed to Scottish Premiership teams combined? Andy, give me your answer. How many Americans and Canadians? What do you think, Anthony?
14.
Oh, I think he's... I think we could be right in between.
14, Andy's gone for
8.
The answer's 12. Andy Haldy's lost. Yet another tiebreaker. I must admit, I feel quite bad on this one, because that was a shambles, I must admit. But that's what happens when you
who
don't
is it,
get
Ross?
When Ross doesn't have good phone signal. What can you do? Anthony, well done. The sign ball is on its way.
Thank you.
And are you a fan of racing, horse racing? Anthony, just say yes.
Yes.
Because we've given you a pair of tickets to the Virgin Bet Gold Cup at Ayr Racecourse on the 17th of September. We're going to do that every week, every night this week on Beat the Pundit. Whoever plays, even if they don't win, you did, but even if they don't, they get tickets to Ayr Racecourse for the Gold Cup just for taking part. And on Friday, we'll even upgrade them to VIP tickets. So well done, Anthony.
And if you're going, Ross, go down to the parade ring. The guy with a microphone at the parade ring is my mate, Ian Ferguson. Go up and say hello, because it's his last day ever working at Ayr Racecourse. He retires after the Gold Cup.
Do you think this is the GBX?
Listen, Roger. After your performance in the last 5 minutes, don't pick fault with me.
How can that be my fault? How can any of that be my fault?
I think getting another caller on after four questions would be
good. Hold
read
on
out
a minute. You just lost to that caller.
Yeah, but we don't listen to the questions that got read out the previous four.
Who came on? There was only one question replicated and he got it wrong.
Listen,
none of those questions were read out the first time.
Those Dundee players in the 5k minute suddenly seem very professional and astute.
Oh, I'm going to get to them in the not too distant future, don't you worry. Anyway, that was a shambles, but that's all good fun. Who cares? Andy Haldy lost at Beat the Pundit. Let's hear from Jack Ross, Dundee United fans. Producer Callum's away home in tears, genuinely, tonight. Whether that's to do with the stag do he was on or the result yesterday, I don't quite know. But how do you feel about life as a Dundee United fan? Where do you go from here? What are you thinking about the team, the manager, what happens going forward? Here's what he had to say at full time after that 9-0 defeat.
Well, I mean, I think in terms of me describing it, it's humiliating and embarrassing. I think in different ways for me, first and foremost personally and professionally, because I think the pride you have in doing your job properly. I think for players they should feel the same way. I think for us as a club, we should never be beat by that scoreline at any level of football. So for fan base, football club, I know they'll feel the same way, and that responsibility ultimately always falls upon my shoulders. Yeah, I mean, I think you have faith in your managerial abilities through previous experiences, and the challenges you've overcome in my football career and coaching career. It's not my character not to think that I can do it and not to want to do it, so that will remain there. Were we physical enough and competitive enough? No, we weren't. No, we weren't. We conceded goals that were akin to training ground exercise against mannequins. And that's an accurate description. That's not a good description to have against your team and for players individually, but that's what it was like.
Ronnie's on the line. What's your point for the guys tonight, Ronnie?
For Andy, how you doing, Andy?
Mm-hmm.
Alright.
How you doing, Ronnie?
That's your testimonial year, mate.
My testimonial game?
Your testimonial year.
Oh, I've not been at Hearts that long.
What was I going to say to you? Lots of light, but going across to Jack Ross was just on the phone there, and I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago when they get beat 7-0. Mate, help yeah. And the next three games, 3-0 St Mirren, 4-1 Dundee United, 9-0 Celtic. That's 23 goals. That's over 5 goals again, mate. Andy, do you know how Jack Ross should walk? If it's anything in him at all, or should he be shoved? Because that's deplorable for the United fans. I'm not a United lover, but I think it's very, very bad.
Yeah, obviously it's not poor reading. I've actually spent a bit of time with Jack Ross when I'd done my A-licence this year, and he was someone that I really enjoyed listening to. I thought his lectures were great. Some of his coaching practices on the field were great. And I mean, he has been in the job 70 days, and listen, I'm not trying to defend the results at all. I mean, not only the results, but the manner of the results, the amount of goals they've conceded, the performances within that have obviously been nowhere good enough. I think especially with the calibre of player that Dundee United have brought in the summer, they're paying a lot of wages to some really good players. But I would like to think that he'd be given a bit more time after 70 days. But for me, you're taking it a game at a time now, and going into this game against Motherwell at the weekend, I think there'll be a lot of scrutiny on Jack Ross.
There was a time, Roger, we're talking about managerial positions potentially becoming available on the 29th of August, when the guy's just taken over in the summer, would be, you know, you just wouldn't have the conversation, right? You just would not go there. football has changed, so that's one thing. And then obviously 9-0 doesn't happen every week, especially off the back of 7 and so on.
Yeah.
Are we in that place yet?
I can actually, I've been around a long time, I can actually never remember a situation like this, because ordinarily if Ronnie called in and made these points, I would say, is it 7 games? You know, you're lucky he knows everybody's name with the 7 games that he's had. Give him time. If he was a guy 7 games ago, he's the guy now. But you listen to that audio from Jack Ross. Humiliating. Embarrassing. Not competitive enough. It's like working with mannequins in the training ground when he discusses Celtic's goals. A lot of that is on the players, as Andy said earlier. But a lot of that has to be in Jack Ross, because he picks the team. He selects the tactics. He works with those players and prepares those players for the game. And I can never remember a team, a top flight team, losing 23 goals in 4 games. I can never remember a top flight team putting in a performance as poor as Dundee United did yesterday. So I do think it's too early for Jack Ross to go. But, you know, if he doesn't turn it around in the next 2 or 3 games, I think it's Livingston, Motherwell and Hibernia in the next 3. It gives him an opportunity to turn it around. If those players don't give Jack Ross a reaction in the next 3 games after what you've just heard Jack Ross saying, then it's the old football adage, it's easier to get rid of one manager than it is to get rid of 20 players.
So you think, Ronnie, in this day and age, the way we, you know, do see more managerial change, you don't think there's any coming back from this?
No, very, very poor. That's just Alpia and Celtic. They've got Charlie McGrew, they've got Watt, they've got Fletcher, experienced players that have done nothing the last couple of games. Nothing.
I think what... Look, these would be bad results anyway, Andy, quite clearly. But it was a rare type of managerial change in the summer. You don't always get the chance to just come into a team that actually had a good season.
Yeah.
You know, some managers tend to get brought in because they need to fix something. Dundee United finished 4th last season and were fine. And if anything, you would look on paper at what they added, goalkeeping issue aside, which is a big one.
Yeah.
And say, well, no, Stephen Fletcher's come in, they've got Dylan Levitt back. You know, will he be even better? Added some other bits and pieces, so you know, might even be even better. So is that where the extra frustration will come from the Dundee United fans?
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Listen, I think Tam Courts came under a lot of unfair criticism last year, and a lot of criticism was the fact that, you know, they were solid at the back, they were hard to beat, they were compact, but going forward they didn't score enough goals.
That's managing in Hungary, by the way.
Yeah, that's why they obviously brought in Tony Watt in the January transfer window. He's maybe not quite scored as many goals as they'd like, but I've watched a bit of Dundee United this year, obviously played against them a couple of weeks ago, and you know, they certainly are a bit more of a possession side than they were last year. They try and pass it out for the back, but you know, in terms of just sort of lacking that little bit of intent going forward, but the sort of compactness and lack of amount of clean sheets and people find it really hard to score against them last year seems to have went out the window, certainly in the first few weeks of the season.
One thing that will go against Jack Ross as well is when you look at the team this season on paper, the team looks stronger. He has added Fletcher, he has added McGrath, he has added a couple of Australian internationals to that squad. Tam Courts got 4th playing a group of kids. You know, he had 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds in the team. You know, that isn't going to help Jack Ross's case going forward.
Yeah, he was certainly well backed in the summer, that's for sure. They've brought in a few players. I think obviously Craig Sybil was another one they've obviously tried to...
Glenn Middleton from Rangers.
Yeah, they tried to go in for Alan Forrest, who thankfully obviously chose to come to the Jambos. So I think he has been well backed, and he's brought in a lot of quality, experienced players. So I think you look at the squad they've got, they certainly shouldn't be getting the results they've been getting and down at the foot of the table.
Budget-wise, they should be in the top 6. They'll probably have a top 6 budget. And at the minute, they're languishing adrift at the bottom of the table.
Thank you, Ronnie. 01419511025. Beat the Pundit wasn't a classic, but we've got a full-time teaser. We'll be back bigger than ever, I'm sure, on the quizzing front. We'll do that next, and plenty of time for more calls.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday are here. 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. You can tweet us, like we said, but we much prefer to speak to you on the phones. We've got another Dundee United fan keen to hear his thoughts. And did you know that SPFL professional footballers called Bowie at breakfast this morning to try and take part in the 5k minute? Well, I'll play it back to you because it went probably how you expect it to go. So we'll find out how that is on this full time teaser, which is fulltime@clyde1.com. Your old pal Crazy Pony sent this question in. Can you name 7 players due to play in the group stages of the Champions League this year who've scored for 3 different clubs in the Champions League, but it must include an English team as well? So there are 7 players due to play in the 2022-23 Champions League group stages. They've scored in the Champions League for 3 different clubs, including an English club. Can you name them? Doesn't include qualifying rounds and all that stuff.
That's quite tough, no?
I mean, obviously they're going to be serious players to have done that. Yeah. So in that respect, not quite tough once you see some of the names.
Mo Salah.
Yeah, show me your thinking.
Hey, Chelsea, Roma and Liverpool.
Well, Basel, Roma and Liverpool. Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Suarez played for Madrid in there.
No, actually no. Apparently not.
And they're in this year's competition.
Yeah, they're set to play in it this year.
Maratta.
No.
Oh, wow.
Toiling then. Thought it was a set.
What about Lukaku?
Yes, Man United, Inter Milan and Chelsea. Alright, we'll leave it there. We're looking for 7 players due to play in the group stages this year who've scored in the Champions League for 3 different clubs, and one of them must be an English club. It's fulltime@clyde1.com if you would like to send a question in and hear it used on the show. Craig's a Dundee United fan. How do you feel tonight, Craig? Try and describe it to us without swearing.
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm not even going down that road of getting angry or frustrated about it. The point I'm trying to make is, I've been listening to the callers for the start, and all it seems to be about is the Celtic-Rangers game on Saturday, and the goal difference matters, and people should have taken Celtic should have took their foot off the pedal and all that. It's just totally and utterly disrespectful to any professional football team. After I lost 20-0 yesterday, and had the same argument or debate about how bad and how poor we were, no, the fact that a club has to stop playing football to try and give us a chance, that's just absolutely taking absolute mickey out of Scottish football as a whole. What you guys don't get is that result yesterday affects the rest of Scottish football, because Celtic will do that to other teams, and eventually Rangers will do the same. Our club simply isn't good enough. We've got guys like Charlie Mulgrew, who wasn't playing yesterday. He doesn't play against Celtic. We've got Tony Watt, doesn't play against Celtic. We've signed them on contracts. We've actually got players that don't actually want to play against Celtic because they're Celtic-minded.
Do you know that for a fact, Craig? That seems like quite an assumption. I would imagine Charlie Mulgrew and Tony Watt would have been quite keen to play in a live television game yesterday.
Absolute nonsense, because Charlie Mulgrew and Tony Watt have never kicked a ball against Celtic since they've signed. I've been to the games. I've watched them play. Most fans will say it agree with. Any ex-Celtic, especially Celtic fan, Celtic player that's came to your club has never tried a leg against Celtic.
Seriously, that's what's on your mind tonight, Craig? When your team got beat 9-0 yesterday, there's talk about the manager being binned after, what is it, 70 days? That's what's at the forefront of your mind? Some theory that Tony Watt and Charlie Mulgrew don't like to play against Celtic?
No, well, that's just an example of where it went wrong and where it has went wrong. In fact, the players are down tools. We're signing players that, let's put it this way, Tony Watt came from Motherwell and he scored 15 goals. We signed him, he scored 1 goal. We've signed Charlie Mulgrew, he's eventually going to be a coach. He looked apart at the start, and now he doesn't kick a ball against Celtic. We don't want players like that in our team. We want players that are committed to playing for Dundee United. It's hard, I understand that. But a provisional club will always struggle against Celtic Rangers and probably even Aberdeen now.
Did they not both feature in the 1-1 draw between the sides at the end of last season?
Exactly, that's my point. With Charlie Mulgrew. Charlie Mulgrew and Tony Watt went under a different manager.
Oh, so it's only under the new manager they don't like to play against Celtic?
No, it's not the fact they don't like to play under the new manager. I went to Fleetwood and they were a disgrace. The two of them were a disgrace. Didn't even try. Right? And I could have named about half a dozen players. People played hundreds of pounds down to Blackpool and then on to Fleetwood to go and watch that nonsense. A couple of thousand went down for that. And it was utter nonsense. I know it's a friendly, you can't judge it, but I can, because I've watched Dundee United there years and I've seen friendlies
and the season's kicked off exactly the same way as the friendly set finished. Done it against Kilmarnock, absolute poor. Then they went to Livingston, absolute poor. Can I just pick out two players in particular?
You know, but things are bad when we're criticising pre-season friendlies.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think a lot of the frustration for Dundee United fans would be the lack of sort of desire and commitment showed for the 11 players that were actually on the pitch. So I think it is harsh to sort of dig out Tony Watt and Charlie McGrew, who sat on the bench and obviously weren't a part of the defeat. Of course, they've been part of some poor results over the last few weeks, but I think it's more of a collective than, you know, people not wanting to play against Celtic.
Where does the main problem lie, Craig? Is it recruitment? Because if it's recruitment, then it can't all be left at Jack Ross's door, because the vast majority of the players were signed before Jack Ross. I mean, you're now looking at a situation, if Jack Ross loses his job, that's a manager out after seven games. The previous three managers have only lasted a season each. No good is going to come of rotating a manager at that pace at any football club.
I never said I wanted Jack Ross sacked.
No, I know that, Craig. No, I'm just saying, as a fan, you see them every week. Where does the problem lie? What would you change at the club? Would you change the manager? Would you change players? Would you change the recruitment staff? What would you look to change?
Asker. Tony Asker. That's your answer. He's the one that picks the team. No Jack Ross. Jack Ross is just a puppet like the other managers were. Sam Colt left because he wanted the mere control. Sam Court had his at least solid, but rubbish to watch. But they're rubbish for years. AZ was the hope. The 5 minutes of fame they got. Couldn't get a ticket for Amsterdam. All the hype, all the rest of it. Never went.
Craig, can you prove any of these theories, by the way? Or have you got any like real basis for them?
For what?
The Celtic thing, the fact that Jack Ross is a puppet and someone else picks the team, all that stuff. Any sort of information behind that?
Jack Ross isn't a manager, he's a coach. So there you go, there's your answer there.
Alright, okay, that clears it up.
I mean, it seems like a manager to me. He's been manager of quite a few clubs now, but for me, I've been a bit harsh there, Craig.
Thank you, Craig. Nice go, Bride. 01419511025.
It'll be a fascinating few days for Dundee United. Livy away. Now, Livy will be smarting after losing 5 at Pittodrie at the weekend. As we said in the show on Saturday, that doesn't really happen to Livingston very often. So David Martindale and our friend Marvin will have them primed and ready to go on Wednesday in that League Cup game. They won't be feeling any sympathy for Dundee United's plight. They will want to add to Dundee United's plight. It's then to Firth Park for your Motherwell team on Saturday. And they too will be smarting, having blown a lead and lost a game they should have won at Kilmarnock on Saturday. So it won't get any easier for Dundee United. And you just wonder, you know, there was talk last week or the week before, these Dundee United players have had a meeting without the manager and they've thrashed some things out. There's no evidence of that so far. And I think it is probably time for a few of them to take a bit more professional pride in their work.
01419511025. Some interesting stuff getting thrown around on here tonight. You can tweet us as well, but pick up the phone, let us know what is on your mind. Speaking of people that maybe shouldn't have picked up the phone, what about this? Are you a fan of the 5k minute in the morning?
I do, I try and listen to it whenever I can.
It's like Beat the Pundit, if you like, but with sort of general knowledge. Now, there can be football questions thrown in. And this morning I was delighted to see this. Dundee trio Jordan McGee, Lee Ashcroft and Paul McGowan, presumably on their way to training, had decided that they would phone in. They would try and get 10 out of 10 and win the £5,000. It didn't quite go to plan. I mean, it would be embarrassing if they got a football question wrong, wouldn't it?
5K minute, who are the contestants today, Cass?
We've got Lee Ashcroft from Uddingston and he's with Paul, he's with Jordan. They're all footballers from Dundee.
Yeah, can we just say Dundee and not Dundee United?
Oh, what a bad weekend.
Wasn't it a good weekend for Dundee United? Oh. Alright guys, good luck. Your time starts now. What is the boiling point of water at sea level?
Bad.
Matt Lucas and Noel Fielding host which Channel 4 TV show?
Pass.
Dead Man's Chest was the second film in which franchise? On a stand-up Monopoly board, what colour is Leicester Square?
Blue.
What Glasgow and the West football team currently top the SPFL League 2?
Airdrie.
In transport, what does HGV stand for?
Sorry, say that again.
in transport. What does HGV stand for?
High Good Vehicle.
Who released the song Toxic in 2004?
Britney Spears.
What's the name of the small ceremonial mallet used by judges? Vincent van Gogh cut off a part of his ear on which side of his head?
Left.
Rigatoni, Farfel and Garganale are all touched. What's the boiling pot water at sea level?
Oh, it's 100 degrees. That's more passes than Dundee have put together in the last three seasons, no, Roger.
Certainly more than the manager at Somerset Park on Friday night.
Incredible. Honestly. So, three Scottish footballers who don't know that Airdrie aren't even in League Two. Well, but they were quick to tell you that Britney Spears was at least toxic in 2004.
Yeah, that was the alarming part of that for me, actually. Yeah,
incredible.
Right. I couldn't get a cup of them. Roger would have been
the
a lot
better. The boiling point of water. 100. Come on. Seriously.
But there was a couple that I struggled with.
Good to see that they were good sports, though. They donated their money to Cash for Kids at the end of it all, Roger Hanna.
Excellent. Well done to them.
I've seen them stick to football, but again, that didn't quite go to plan on Friday night either. So I'd.
Yeah, United flying, though.
Going well.
Yep, flying.
Yep. Dipo Akinyemi. He's the man.
I see the man now.
It's your new favourite.
Oh, yes.
Are they the new Arbroath?
Well, we discussed this in the programme on Saturday. I would like to think so. And it's a championship this season. And the Dundee players probably won't be listening after their shame this morning. But it's probably a championship without star quality this season. So why can't an unexpected team soar through the ranks?
Right, so 01419511025. Let's bring in Stephen, who's an Ayr, funnily enough, but he's a Celtic fan. Stephen, what's your take on yesterday? How highly do you rate that performance?
How you doing? That's what I was saying to your producer. I've been a Celtic fan for over 30 years, so I've seen the Martin O'Neill team, the Rodgers team, all different, Neil Lennon, all the trophies. It's one that I've never seen football played the way Postecoglou's bringing it to Celtic. It's the best football I've seen in my lifetime. That answers that question.
Do you got, I mean, Roger, you know, fans like these sort of outlandish statements, and I know we always maybe feel that you need to put a label on things. That's why I don't think it's really worthwhile to talk about, is this the best Celtic team? Because that doesn't allow for how strong the rest of the league is. That can change, that can fluctuate, all that sort of stuff. But in terms of the eye-catching bit, has Stephen got a point? I mean, you've seen a lot of football.
I mean, I'm always very reticent to compare teams to the other. You know, you get back to the 88 double winning team with McAvaney and Walker, etc., and Paul McStay. And you
fast forward. He's only been watching for 30 years. No, he's just a couple of years out on that.
You fast forward to that Martin O'Neill team who went all the way to Seville and, you know, won whatever they all won with Larson and Sutton and Hartson, etc.
I'm a bit too young to sort of remember every detail of. That was obviously a very good team. But did they play the same swashbuckling style the way that this team does?
Completely different style of football. Three big centre halves.
Three? I can remember about six in that team.
Lennon and Lambert at the base of the midfield, and everything going forward came from, you know, the wide areas, and then that front three of Larson, Sutton, Hartson, and Stan Petrov bombing forward from midfield. A completely different style, a completely different team, and that's why it's very difficult to compare. Brendan Rodgers' Invincibles, not a bad side either, of a more modern vintage, if you want. You know, Stephen will remember them, but certainly you couldn't quarrel with anything Celtic are producing just now. The manager was purring about it after the game yesterday. Not, as we said earlier on, not even so much the nine, more the quality of the goals, the way the team played to set up virtually tap-ins for a few of the goals.
Yeah, Stephen's certainly seen a lot more of Celtic than I have, but they're obviously playing an exciting brand of football. A brand of football that we've probably never really seen in Scotland in terms of the rotations that they do, the inverted fullbacks. It's something that I've only ever seen sort of Pep Guardiola's Man City do. But I mean, of course, they're playing some fantastic football. The only real question mark is how will they cope in Europe? Will they still continue that brand of football, which was a big question mark going into last year? But you look at their group, you know, Real Madrid obviously being Real Madrid, holders of the Champions League, but Shakhtar and obviously RB Leipzig. So it's going to be exciting to see how they do in Europe.
Stephen, how does this set you up? It's obviously a big week. How do you feel it sets Celtic up going forward?
Well, this is, I know you was like caller, right, to get the debate going, coming out with statements that you think is quite funny in that, but Celtic, to me, if Celtic beat Rangers at the weekend, right, and the Rangers have then got Ajax away, then they've got Aberdeen away, and they've got Andy's Hearts in the first of October, who I thought played well against Celtic, to be honest. I actually thought Andy had a good game as well, to be fair.
So that guy earlier on was been a bit disrespectful, going on as if because of changes he didn't do anything. Celtic were 1-0 up until the sending half, and Hearts came into the second half. I also watched Hearts in Europe. I thought they played well until the sending half as well. But what I'm saying is, I think Aberdeen or Hearts will draw with Rangers, and Rangers will be 7 points behind come 1st of October. And I kind of see Celtic slipping up a lot. I think you'll be lucky if Celtic will lose one game this season. So I'm getting out there and saying that already.
It's a long way. The league's pretty much over, Stephen. Is that what you're telling us?
See, I told you he's love it when folk come on and say that.
love is an interesting way of putting it, I must admit. Roger?
Well, I think Celtic took 10 from the first 21 points last season, still won the league by 5 points. So what happens in the first 5 or 6 games, of course it's important, but it's not definitive by any stretch of the imagination. And I say that, you know, Celtic could go 5 points clear, playing very well, might well be 5 points clear by mid-afternoon on Saturday.
And is that, it 7 by the 1st of October?
That won't be the league over, because you never know how the season's going to pan out. Particularly, I think both teams now have 6 Champions League group games squeezed into 9 midweeks. Of the other 3 midweeks, they'll have a lot of players away in international duty all around the world for a couple of those weeks. There's a League Cup quarter final to be thrown in. A lot of the players will go to the World Cup, Gordon. This is a season like no other in terms of the physical and mental demands that will be placed on the players of the two clubs, and way, way too early to say a league's done.
Stephen, phone us back in the 1st of October and we'll reassess. That sound good?
Absolutely.
Good man, I look forward to it. Thank you. That was Stephen in Ayr. How are you getting on with this teaser, you two? 7 players who are due to play in the Champions League group stages this season. They've scored for 3 different clubs in the competition, one of which is an English team. So Mo Salah, Liverpool, Roma, Basel. You also gave me Lukaku, Man United, Chelsea, Inter.
Ibrahimovic?
Yeah, he's done it for loads. Man United being the English team, then Milan, Inter, Barca, Juve, Ajax.
Hey, Alexis Sanchez.
In Barca, Arsenal, Inter. Yes, we'll get the rest of the answers next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
On the home straight then for Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna. Still time for you to speak to them, and time for them hopefully to come up with the answers to this teaser as well. Can you name 7 players due to play in the Champions League group stages who've scored for 3 different clubs in the competition, and that must include an English team? Guys like Ibrahimovic, Mo Salah, Alexis Sanchez, Romelu Lukaku,
Edin Dzeko.
Show me your working.
Man City, Roma and Inter Milan.
And Wolfsburg, actually. Yes, well done.
Eden Hazard.
Say that again.
Eden Hazard.
Eden Hazard, apparently not. Oh, interestingly enough.
Chelsea, Real and Leo, I don't know if they've
done. Nah, not in this one.
Di Maria.
Again, apparently not.
No.
What about Thiago of Liverpool?
Nope.
I'll go for one more. Memphis Depay?
No, I'm afraid not.
I'll try one more as well. What about Kevin De Bruyne?
No. Running into some difficult ones now. Fulltime at Clyde1.com. By the way, let me also run this past you as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Team of the Week with Clyde Build Home Improvements.
A team of the week, brand new to Clyde One Super Scoreboard this season. Every Monday, one of the pundits picks their team, and you can slaughter it at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Now, it was Gordon DL's turn, of all people, this week. After Mark Wilson's disaster last week, it was Gordon DL's turn. I don't think it's too bad. There are a few questionable ones in there. Go to at Clyde SSB on Twitter, check it out, and tell him how much nonsense he's talking in the comments. It's all thanks to Clyde Built Home Improvements, and they're giving you the chance to win a current or retro football kit of your choice at Clyde1.com. Nothing's as bad as Mark Wilson's last week, so hopefully onwards and upwards, as they say. Right, let's bring in Ian, who's a St Mirren fan in Barhead. Hi, Ian.
Hi there.
How's it going?
Evening, guys. Yeah, hey, going fine.
Good.
Yeah.
What's on your mind tonight?
Just wanted to make a point about referees. I know that they usually come in for quite a bit of stick, but on Saturday I thought the referee, Graham Granger, is the first I've heard of him. And I was reading, I think it was his first game in the Premiership. And I thought he was excellent. A couple of comments were that he'd let things go rather than giving fouls and booking players. And I thought from the first minute when a St Mirren player used his body, as they say, to nudge the Hibs player out of play. And he just told the Hibs player to get up. And he did that right throughout the game. Every time two players came together, sometimes one would go down, he just told them to get up and got on with it. And it just reminded me of Graham Souness a few weeks ago when he was watching, I think it was a Chelsea game, saying that he was watching this game. It was just a good old-fashioned man's game. Guys having a good go at each other, and the referee just let him go on with it.
Yeah, those comments did spark quite a bit of backlash for what it's worth. So let's not go down that road at 10 to 8 on a Monday night, because we'd run out of time. But
Very refreshing.
I was going to say Monday nights were for slaughtering referees on this show, Roger Hannah. So how nice is it? Because Ian, and in particular, this is a new name to him in the refereeing circles. And
he got a mention actually in our newspaper this morning. I think my colleague Derek McGregor covered the game, and he mentioned them. He mentioned how well he had done, and this was his Premiership debut after 40 odd games in the lower leagues. I saw a good one. I mentioned him in the show a couple of weeks ago as well. A new young ref called Chris Graham, who did that Aberdeen Motherwell game that I saw the other week. And then there was one who did, oh, Fraser Wishart was talking about
McDermott. McDermott was the surname.
Yeah, is it Matthew? Was it Matthew? No. Michael?
Matthew McDermott and then David Dickinson. I think that's the four new refs.
No, David Dickinson's been about before.
Oh, yeah,
has he? Yeah. I've seen him. Yeah.
He's a real deal.
Yeah.
So, oh,
no, but he has been on. He's been on the roster so, before. Right? But
there might be seeds of hope for the refereeing.
Who are these new superstars?
Yep. Some youth potential coming through with a new batch of referees.
How was John beaten yesterday?
No comment.
Any word on who's got the big appointment for Saturday?
If you don't know, then I certainly won't. You're generally across these things. No? Has that not been announced yet?
No, I haven't heard.
Is that usually a Tuesday number, I think? Tomorrow night, watch, 6 o'clock, be here.
What I will say is I do like Ian's assessment of how a game should be refereed, because I think everyone wants to see, you know, certain fouls get let go, let the game play, and not too whistle happy. But even if that was the case, we'd still have people on a Monday complaining about that.
And it's much easier, Ian, when your team are absolutely flying, I'm sure you'll admit.
That's right, yeah. It'd be interesting if you'd heard what a Hibs supporter thought of the game, because it's just a case that every time a player falls down, it isn't always a foul. And too often, I think referees do that. If two players come together, one of them falls down, they tend to give a foul. But on Saturday, he just told them to get up and go on with it. And I thought it was really, really good.
How happy are you with what you're seeing from your team?
Well, we seem to have been sailing into a kind of rhythm just now. We've got a system that seems to work. We're playing St Johnstone on Saturday, and that's not normally a game that you'd have kind of nothing each, one nothing kind of thing. But I've got a funny feeling the way we're playing. We could just maybe get through there and score a goal or two. We certainly look dangerous now. Curtis Mayne just seems to be playing out of his skin, and the bigger young guy as well looks a big handful. And then we'll get two other good strikers sitting on the bench, and Brophy and Greaves. So, it's looking quite promising.
But what a difference a couple of weeks can make, though, Roger, because no one was talking about it being promising just a few weeks ago. And again, I don't know, maybe this feeds into the other discussions you're having about when it's time to change managers and all that stuff. I'm not saying St Mirren. I know they didn't have a 9 and a 7, but you get the point. No, it doesn't take long for things to change sometimes.
They lost at Arbroath, and they lost at home to Arbroath, and they lost at Airdrie. So they, you know, for Ian and the other St Mirren fans, those were bad enough results. You know, out of the League Cup before a ball's kicked, they lost to Motherwell in the first weekend of the season, despite playing reasonably well. And it did look a bit gloomy for Stephen Robinson and the team at the time. But he sort of reshaped this thing. He's gone to a back three minus the captain, Joe Shaughnessy. And it's always a gamble by a manager to leave the club captain out of the team. The two Australian lads have come in, brought a bit more dynamism. I thought Bacchus performed well and took his goal really well at the weekend. And in a young guy in Maine, sometimes this happens, you throw two together and it works, because he could easily have gone with Grieve and Brophy. He didn't. He went a younger in Maine. And Curtis Mayne, having had an op in the summer, looks back to his best again.
Ian, I love it. I love the feeling you're giving off, the positivity, praising referees. It'll never catch on, but I'm glad you did it anyway. Thanks for taking the time.
Right, okay.
Good man. That was Ian in Barrhead on 01419511025. It's a big week coming up. Transfer window starting to move. So it always slams shut, doesn't it? It never closes gently in your tabloid speak, Roger Hannah. So does it, you know, starting to creak a little bit? You expecting much up here?
You never know. I could say no, and then there's loads. You know, there's Robbie Nielsen throughout Hearts talking about he signed a German today, and no, I won't try and pronounce him.
He's talking about one or two more, depending on the severity of the injuries that were picked up yesterday. And I think every manager in the land will probably have a little eye on doing something.
Did not end up in the back three yesterday, such were Hearts' injury. No offence, but I mean,
yeah, three positions in the 90 minutes again. And enjoyable.
Early suggestions might be that Liam Boyce, you know, if that's a serious one, how big a blow is that? Does that mean you're going to be getting some new teammates in the next few days?
Yeah, it'd be a huge blow. I think if you look at our squad just now, in terms of squad depth, I think striker is probably the one that we're lacking the most. It's only really Shanks and obviously Liam Boyce. So I think we were all expecting as a group of players that maybe we would dip into the transfer market from now to the window shuts with maybe one or two more, obviously depending on the severity of a couple of injuries we sustained at the weekend. It might actually be more than that. So I'd imagine the Hearts will probably be the busiest team from now to the end of the window.
Oh, sounds like a man in the know, Hearts fans. Roger, will Celtic and Rangers do much? Will Alfredo Morelos leave? Will anyone come in? And this now doesn't really matter because he's a free agent, so the transfer window doesn't necessarily come into play as such. But Ross Barkley, you see, has been let go by Chelsea. You see the internet rumour mill is going.
I know in his last club that was reported he was £92,000 a week. Mm-hmm. So I think if he was coming to Glasgow, he would need to take something of a hit.
Is that not like when Andy went from Rangers to Hearts though?
Yeah, possibly. But listen, all joking aside, I think if a player's released on a day like this, it probably lessens the chances of him going instantly, because he's now not, you know, confined by the restrictions of the transfer window. He could sign for a club in September or October or November. You know, there's no rush for him to pick up a club.
Is it not a sign that he's going to do something soon? Otherwise, why bother?
Maybe.
And again, it's an internet rumour stage at the moment, I think. I feel like a few weeks ago it was mostly through a Celtic lens. Now it seems to be mostly through a Rangers lens. Anything in that, do you
think? It's not as exciting as the Cristiano Ronaldo rumours. You must have heard that one.
Well, yeah, that would
be. Oh, no, we can't afford him.
He's not Liam Boyce, is he?
No, definitely not. Yeah, obviously, it's an exciting rumour. There's been a lot of sort of high profile players that Rangers and Celtic have signed over the years, some successful, some not. But I think if you look at Ross Barkley, he's still at a good age. So I don't know how much is truth is in the rumours, but it's certainly exciting.
Andy Halliday was just saying before we came on, he doesn't think Cristiano Ronaldo's as good looking as Liam Boyce either. So that would be a bit of a sticking point for him. I think that's pretty much us. I think we should round off this teaser. We're looking for 7 players due to play in the group stages this season who've scored in the Champions League for 3 different clubs at least, and it must include an English team, like Ibrahimovic, like Salah, like Dzeko, like Lukaku, and like Sanchez.
Mkhitaryan.
Yes, wonderful shout. Shakhtar, Dortmund and Man United.
I think my last one's it'd be a great shout if it's true. Ivan Perisic.
No.
What about Aubameyang?
Nope. Give you this guy. We need to do the clubs. The easier of the two: Bayern, Man City, Schalke.
Boateng.
Nope. Leroy Sané.
Oh, yeah.
And the last one, really tough. I'd have loved it if you'd got this. Dinamo Zagreb, Real Madrid, Chelsea.
Kovacic.
Oh, different class. Well done, Roger Nandy. Thank you to everyone who listened and called. That was a very, very busy phone in. I could see the lights constantly flashing on the screen. So we are back tomorrow if you couldn't get through, and I'm sure there will be even more new talking points tomorrow with Gordon Dalziel. And it's not Mark Wilson, is he? Still at his medieval night in Tenerife or whatever it is. But anyway, join us tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And in the meantime, is Callum Gallagher up next? Since we're getting our schedules all out in the open, Callum Gallagher's up next. He will look after you, and we'll speak to you at 6 tomorrow.